On FM.
Online.
And DAB Digital Radio.
This is Phil Rowe.
Cambridge 105.
From soldering irons to sewing machines, people are pouring through the door. It's a bit like a doctor's surgery. The first thing they do is they come to reception and sign in. A lot of people have been pre-booked. There are toolkits everywhere and all sorts of skills on offer this afternoon. It's Great Shelford's very first repair cafe. With me, spending some time talking to me, is Nicole Barton, the events coordinator for Cambridge Carbon Footprint. It's the first in Great Shelford. Pleased with the attendance so far, Nicole?
Excellent. The room's absolutely buzzing. I think we've got about 12 or 13 repairers here and a constant stream of people who've booked stuff in, but also people that are just dropping in on the off chance.
There's lots going on. As you can just hear from the noise in the background here, there's also coffee and some cake, all important, because that's part of Repair Cafe after all. Also, you're looking for some donations. What will you do with the money you get today?
The money will be used to repay for the rental of the hall, and any money left over will support other green groups in the village.
We'll start at the end rather than the beginning. People then send their feedback forms through to you as well, a little bit about themselves. We're looking at some of the personal information going into a sink bowl at the moment, so we'll keep that. Repair cafes, are they a local phenomenon?
Well, they act at a local level, but actually the movement started in Holland in 2009. There's about 200 repair cafes in Holland, but there's 1,200 repair cafes throughout the world, everywhere from Brazil to Germany to Japan. It's a growing movement. Even in America, which is a very litigious culture, they're booming. So, yeah, people can't get enough of them. People hate waste. These repairers that we have love to come and repair. They give up their afternoons. So it's a match made in heaven, really.
Is Cambridgeshire one of the seed areas in the UK that started it off for us?
I think Cambridgeshire probably has the densest concentration of repair cafes in the whole of the country. Yeah, so it's actually started off in Royston. A few of us went to learn how they did it in Royston, and it's blossomed from there.
It's crept over the border from Hertfordshire into South Cambridgeshire, where we are today. How many repair cafes so far have you seen in South Cambridgeshire? Have you been in from the beginning?
Oh, I'd say there's probably been at least maybe 15 now. I mean, they happen once a quarter in Cottenham alone. Histon's coming up for its second. Fulbourne's coming up for its second. Cambridge City's been having them for years. Obviously, Cambridge City ones tend to be large with about 70 people there. But yeah, they're happening probably once a fortnight now.
There's information on the South Cambridgeshire District Council's website with venues as well and times of the various events. They seem to be happening almost every weekend now.
That's correct. For some of these repairers, they'll spend 2 weekends out of the month coming, talking to their local community, meeting people, helping people. It's a really great community event. It brings all sorts of people together. And the joy that the repairers get from helping people, giving their free time, it's just lovely to see. Sometimes people end up in tears of joy because something's been fixed, sentimental items that they thought could never be used again.
We've had a lady carrying out her family silver. Somebody's tried to do a silver solder repair, which I know is a very difficult thing to do. I don't know whether they might have resorted to a proprietary glue in the end to get things, a leg put back onto a particular family trinket, which is very special and important to them. People are bringing things along, though, as items that they pre-booked in.
Yes, so you can pre-book by contacting the repair cafe, or you can just turn up. So we've been lucky enough to have a very generous donation from Mackay's and Draper's Tools. They've donated £1,000 worth of tools to the repair cafes. So if you bring something in, even if it hasn't been booked in, we usually have the tools and the spares and stuff so we can have a really good look at it.
It's all very well turning up to a repair cafe, and as I say, there are many people here this afternoon, but you need people to do the repairs. Do you sort of vet people who are engineers to make sure that they're qualified and safe to work on electrical items?
So yeah, we are very lucky in Cambridge that we have a very deep vein to mine of retired engineers. So what we recommend is that people come along, first of all they see a repair cafe, see if it's something that they like. The next stage would be that they come and sit next to an existing repairer for one session, and after that then we'll invite them in. And obviously if the existing repairer says, well, I thought maybe that person needs a bit more training, then we wouldn't bring them on. But actually that's never happened.
A bit of a sorcerer's apprentice before they can actually start work on repairs. This afternoon we've got mechanical engineers, electromechanical engineers, electronic engineers. We've got some, shall we call them seamstress, I suppose you could say, with a sewing machine. What other skills are among the ranks of the repairers?
We have some generalists, but we also have a bike repairer who does a fantastic job fixing bikes, children's bikes, adults' bikes.
We can hear power drills and power tools going in the background. Also, you heard some hammering earlier on. I'm not sure whether it's a cobbler working in the corner. What's one of the most interesting or more interesting items that you would say that have passed over a repair cafe over the last few months and years?
I think my favourite was a Father Christmas that had got stuck in his chimney. He used to go up and down, and he'd been in the loft for 13 years, and they came in with their children and said, can you fix this? And he got the motor working, and up popped the Father Christmas, who hadn't seen out of his chimney for about 13 years, and he went smoothly up and down to bring many a smile.
And the children probably would have remembered Santa Claus going up and down in the chimney and popping out at 4 years old. Now they're in their teens, but isn't it lovely to recall their childhood memories that way?
Absolutely. We do have tears of joy here. One lady did bring in a clock that had been the last gift that her deceased husband had given her, and we got that fixed for her, and she was absolutely overjoyed. She was crying tears of joy and hugging the repairers, so it's pretty special.
What is it you need most? More tools or more skilled engineers?
I think we always need a supply of engineers, actually. A lot of the engineers do bring their own tools with us, as well as using the Mackay's toolkit, but if the repair cafes keep growing at the rate they are, then we're going to need a constant supply of fresh, good repairers. So if you're interested, please get in touch.
Particularly, I'd say, looking around the room, as I say, we're sitting in the middle and there's an array of us in a nearly full circle before we get to the cafe. The busy people, it seems to be the electrical people at the moment. There's meters everywhere, and as I said earlier on, soldering irons, and I see a few smiles on faces as well. There was a music centre that seems to have burst into life a little earlier on.
Yeah, we can have a go at anything, really. There is a serious side to the repair cafes. Obviously, you know, we're really keen to fix people's stuff, but England was listed by a UN report as one of the top five countries in the world for electronic waste. The average person in the UK creates 23 kilograms of electronic waste a year, so we're really keen to try and reduce that. So if you brought down a laptop, for instance, to repair a cafe and that got fixed, that would save 500 kilograms of carbon dioxide going into the atmosphere. So there's many good reasons to get your stuff fixed.
Are there people here with IT skills who could probably take apart a hard drive and put somebody's laptop back into life this afternoon?
I'm not sure if there are here, but we often do have people, and because we have Wi-Fi, we can often connect up to the internet and see how to do stuff, and people bring software with them. But if you want to come with something like a laptop, it is best to book it in, because then the repairers can do some research beforehand and see if they're going to be able to fix it, rather than wasting your time by coming down. And that goes the same for mobile phones as well, actually. Always try and book in your mobile phone, because certain mobile phones have certain screws that are fitted in a certain way, and we can't always get the screens off. So for more complicated items, best to book in.
For instance, you might have a battery that's not performing quite so well in a tablet or a smartphone. Have you got people that can deal with situations like that here?
Oh, certainly people that can replace batteries in laptops and phones.
And people are timetabled into slots here today.
That's correct. So people have a 40-minute slot. Some repairs only take a few minutes. Some might take longer than that. So if your repair's taking longer, you can sometimes be sent to another repairer. Or if one repairer can't fix your item, there's often a bit of competition between repairers, so they will love to fix something that another repairer can't fix. So it gets like a bit of a repairer's Olympics sometimes.
It is a bit like a repair doctor's surgery this afternoon. Some patients can overrun. I'm seeing a pair of roller skates under maintenance at the moment. Probably one of the simpler repairs this afternoon. So I'm roaming around the room now to see exactly what's going on at the front end. Charlie here has got a repairer's log with the various things that he's done during the afternoon. He has to describe on a sheet of paper exactly what he's been doing. He's got various crimps and bullets and things like that. I happen to know as a bit of an engineer in the past life. At the moment, I think he's got a lamp standard, a floor standing one, and he's doing a bit of rewiring. How's it going so far for you this afternoon, Charlie?
Pretty well. I've had a not a bad success rate. I managed to fix a silver bowl. The leg had fallen off that, glued that back on, and I'm now working on this standard lamp, which had a device that you turn it on by touching it, which we decided has stopped working. So we're being sensible and adapting it to work without that, where it'll be plugged. So I'm just rewiring it a little bit, but hopefully the chap who's brought it will go away happy. And again, it stops it being landfilled and thrown away.
I've managed to find one of the apprentice engineers this afternoon, although I think he has quite a lot of experience under his belt. Your name is?
John Ellis.
And John, you've already had some success this afternoon with some repairs.
Yeah, well, I got dragged into fixing a toaster. The hardest part, of course, was getting it into pieces so we could see what was wrong with it. But when we finally managed to drill out the security screws on the bottom, we were able to see what was wrong with it. It was some tire contacts. We tweaked those with some pliers, put it back together, put some new screws in the bottom, and the guy's gone home now to make some toast.
All smiles all around, yeah. They always say that razor blades could be designed so that they last forever, perhaps a titanium blade, but the manufacturers don't want to do that because they could go out of business. But there is now a new sustainable phone.
That's right, it's called the Fairphone, and it's developed on a modular basis, so it can be taken apart in some very simple, easy steps, and you can easily get the spares, and the manuals are available online for anyone to try and go at fixing it themselves, and they're really popular, so they are countering the disposable culture.
Is it available in the UK?
It's available in the UK. I think there's a waiting list because they're so popular. People are sick of stuff that breaks down and that they have to buy new, and so those companies that are being innovative can be really successful.
A new aspect is to start surveying at, in our case, we've got recycling centres down at Triplow for South Cambridgeshire, and Cambridge City residents tend to go up to Milton to do the recycling. But one aspect at the moment is now to look at trends of what's being disposed of and whether some products maybe don't have the longevity that you might expect.
Certainly something that we're interested in. One of our founder members called Chris Moller, who runs the Cotton Maricare Cafes, is very keen to spend some time down at the Milton Tip and see which makes and models are turning up again and again at tips, because we suspect there are some brands that are not doing their bit to make their goods sustainable. So we'd like to survey that over a while and publish the findings.
So identifying maybe manufacturers or their models that they're conking out rather earlier than expectation.
That's right. And without the evidence, it's hard to point the finger.
A very intricate operation at one of the stalls this afternoon. Helena's here. She's got somebody coming in, booked in for about 3:30, so I'll hurry it along a little bit. But in front of me now, painting the picture, we've got various loops for chains for repairs. You've been busy so far, Helena, this afternoon?
Well, a modest amount of people. I was very successful with my first repair because the lady thought she'd need some soldering done, and I don't do soldering, but I was able to make a component to mend a very fine gold chain for her. So my first customer went away satisfied.
We have tweezers, both sort of bent ones, snipe-nosed ones, swan-neck ones, I think, cutters. And this is also a very intricate device that it's... I'm just going to describe it to the listeners. That's called a...
It's called a jeweller's loop. And it's basically like a monocle that you stick in your eye, but it's got a very high magnification, sort of times 10. So I can see very tiny things and work out how they've actually been made and whether I can replicate that as a repair.
It reminds me of a gold prospector where somebody has some gold and they've taken along to get it evaluated, and you hunch up with these little monocles to your eye.
Well, you can see the hallmarks, you see. So I was able to tell one lady that her necklace was in fact sterling silver. She just thought it was some cheap silver metal because she'd bought it in a market in Florence. And I said, no, it's 925 sterling silver.
Your next customer is about to present her. It looks like a gold necklace, so I'm going to let you get on with that. But you don't actually mount gems, so if rings are broken...
No, I don't. Although I probably could tighten up claws, but I don't actually do gemstone mounting. I tend to thread things or wire them. I do some wire work as well.
Your next task looks very intricate, so Helena, I'm going to let you get on.
Thank you very much.
In one nice little corner of the room, there's coffee and cake available for people. It might be while they're waiting for their item to come out the other end of the repairs. A bit like waiting for hospital. Will it work? Will the surgeon be successful? Waiting for their slot in the queue is...
David Cotty.
David, what have you brought this afternoon for repair?
I brought an angle poise lamp. It should be working. I've taken it apart myself. Everything seems to be okay, but it still doesn't work, and I can't understand why. So I brought it along. In case there's somebody, well, there probably will be somebody with a little bit more knowledge than me, who can perhaps identify what the problem is and whether it is resolvable.
You'll be no doubt fascinated when it's your turn at the table to see exactly what they'll find out. And the great thing is you can watch over them while the repair is taking place.
Yes, well, that will be useful, because obviously if the problem occurs again, I might have some idea as to what I can do myself without having to bring it back in.
You might put him out of a job for next time, but thanks, David. Richard is in the queue. In fact, he's at least sitting down and relaxing comfortably at the moment. He's just had his tea and coffee. When's your booked in slot this afternoon, Richard?
Well, originally 3:30, but they've told me now 4:00, and I'm seeing Charlie, who apparently is a whiz kid with electronics and electrical items, and I'm here at my wife's behest to get our iron refixed. The old lead has well and truly past it. We would probably have thrown it away, but having heard about this, we thought it would be a very good idea as we're trying to get into recycling and take sustainability and everything else more seriously. So this seemed a good idea. So here I am for the first time, hoping to get our iron fixed.
And why are you here this afternoon, sir?
I have a pair of trousers that are rather too big for me at the moment, and I'm hoping I can just take them in.
I can flatter you and say probably it's because you've been on a diet, is that right?
What happened? I overindulged at Christmas and bought these trousers just after Christmas, and since then I've lost weight, obviously. I think it tells you not to eat too much at Christmas because it has consequences.